he retired on a Wednesday. When the call came through, said so long.
Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat, that's C-A-T, crashing the party. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all your podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. And if you found me on TikTok, well, TikTok's still going. I doubt we'll find me on TikTok. Anyway. We're going to shout out two towns that are listening to us. One is Rainesville, Alabama. Rainesville was originally called Parkertown. It was renamed for William Raines, the first settler of the town site. It is one of the top counties in Alabama for cattle, poultry, soybeans, and corn. Our other town is Walnut Hill, Virginia. It's a neighborhood there in Petersburg, Virginia. The district was characterized by ordered streets, most of which are named after large pre-Civil War Virginia plantations. The first lots in the neighborhood were built mainly by wealthy white Petersburg residents. Anyway, giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is just an arm's length away here on the back porch. You know, I only drink a little, but when I do, I turn into another person, and that person drinks a lot. Today, I'm having an old-fashioned from a pre-made old-fashioned from a bottle from Belle Isle Moonshine, located on Maury Street here in Richmond, Virginia, located about 30 minutes east of the back porch. It's very good. Kat, what you got?
If you want some, UPS does deliver.
Bring it.
Bring it. I'm having a fresh pineapple martini made famous by the Bonefish Grill, a place we're never going back to. So I learned how to make my own version. Anyway.
Drinks good, food bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right. Today we ask the question, who the hell buys a Jeep as your main mode of transportation? And evidently a lot of people, because we see them going up and down the road here all the time. Now, let's remember, the Jeep showed up in 1941 and helped us win World War II.
Correct.
Lightweight, four-wheel drive utility vehicle used for towing military equipment, removing wounded soldiers from the battlefield. And when the Jeep got stuck, very lightweight, it was easy to push out of the mud. Now, after the war, it was many decades before the Jeep gained popularity as an everyday vehicle. I think it was like the 80s. You had the, what, Jeep Wrangler, the Jeep Cherokee. They did put the Jeep back on the map. Now, if you've ever ridden in a Jeep, any model, any year, the first thing you notice is the rough ride. Now, when you get in this thing, you can feel every bump in the road. I don't understand how a manufacturer of a vehicle, for all these decades, you can't improve the ride.
Is this is a suspension issue?
I don't know. You know, when you buy a Jeep, you probably think you're going to go off-road with this thing, right?
Right.
Well, you better think again. The short wheelbase, the lightweight of the vehicle, it makes climbing inclines difficult. Safety-wise, the Jeep is not safe. Here's what I don't get. Today, many years back, we started hearing about what? Seatbelt. Wear the seatbelt. 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 Got to wear it. But for some reason, the Jeep creep, they can take the doors off of this thing and go 70 miles an hour down the highway. I don't get it.
Believe me, my niece dated a guy that had a Jeep with the doors off. My sister-in-law was not happy.
I don't know. It probably feels kind of cool. I don't know. Jeep creep, they like to trick these things out, put the skull and crossbones cover on the spare tire hanging on the back. Big on flags.
Oh, flags.
Flapping in the breeze. The dashboard littered with, what is it? Little stuffed animals all saying, look at me. What's on the dashboard?
Our ducks, rubber ducks.
Oh, what does that signify?
I don't know. It's a thing. I don't know when it started. It's a thing you would, I mean, people would be in parking lots and someone would gift them a duck.
Oh.
And you would put them on the back, on the dashboard. They like, Jeep owners will exchange ducks back and forth.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. Okay. Jeep guy, he started to annoy us. Kat was going to bring it up a minute ago. We go to Nag's Head, North Carolina. Started to make a yearly voyage to the Outer Banks of North Carolina in, what, mid, end of September to celebrate our anniversary.
Right.
And we started this tradition, you know, because we had the place to ourselves. Summer's over. Everybody's back to school, back to work. And so we did what we wanted when we wanted. Nobody kind of really in the way. Then a few years ago, we hit the main strip there, heading to the condo in Nag's Head, and we keep seeing all these Jeeps with shit hanging all off of them, you know, weird stuff mounted on the front grill. And we didn't think nothing of it. And then we headed out to do this and that, and we keep seeing the Jeep creep everywhere we go. And then we realize there was a Jeep convention,
right?
In Nag's Head, North Carolina, going on the same time we show up.
Of course, we are not driving a Jeep. We are driving the anti-Jeep, the FJ Cruiser.
Which is way cooler.
Which is way cooler and drives way better.
And we can go on the beach with it, too, and not get stuck. So this past year, remember? Same situation. Jeeps here, Jeeps there, Jeeps everywhere. And not really bothering us, just kind of annoying. And I bet you none of the Jeep creeps took that thing out on the beach. They would surely get stuck. I don't know what it is about the Jeep dude that annoys me. Maybe the fact that they think they're cool.
Is that all your personality? Is this Jeep that you bring here every year?
But really,
for a freaking Jeep weekend there in Nag's Head, North Carolina, is that your whole personality?
There's a lot of them out here now, isn't it? The four door ones are
right.
They're getting bigger, more annoying.
There's one in the handicap spot at the Publix every single time we go. We're sure it's an employee.
Yeah,
that has got all the little ducks lined up there on the dashboard.
I didn't know there were ducks. Now I know.
As a matter of fact, Publix had ducks with a P on them they sold for Christmas. I wonder if he bought any.
I'm sure. Anyway, they're basically riding around in an overpriced bucket of bolts. The reputation of the Jeep is well known, and the rep is not good. You know, I understand like an 18, 19-year-old.
Right.
You know, once
fresh
the cruise
out of college,
Jeep style,
I'm going to have my Jeep.
I just don't understand adults tooling around in one of these rough
Maybe
riders.
They're feeling that they're young again or something. It's like a, you know, like someone getting a Corvette when they're 50 and they're balding. I don't know.
All right. Jeep dude, enjoy your Jeep. All right, let's roll right into one tough son of a bitch. I'm going to take a shot.
He needs a shot, people.
Mm.
He's still drinking. Sacagawea is our one.
Sacagawea. I can say it better after a shot. I can say it louder. The more you drink, the louder you get. Anybody figure that out? Born in 1788, maybe. From present day Salmon, Idaho. Somewhere around there. Sacagawea was a Lemhi Shoshone. Sacagawea was a Lemhi Shoshone woman who helped Lewis and Clark explore the western portion of the United States after the Louisiana Purchase.
Right.
Barely remembering.
Her name means bird woman.
Yeah. She was only in her teens when she traveled from North Dakota to the Pacific Ocean. Sacagawea helped Lewis and Clark establish relations with the Native Americans they came across during their journey. She was able to speak several native languages. Very strong, very intelligent woman.
Let's see. She was a very skilled forager, knew how to find the edible plants, very keen observer, good at tracking prey. She knew which plants could treat illnesses like snake bites and insect stings. Kind of important when you're foraging your way through the United States.
Yeah, just her presence with the, we'll call it expedition, it demonstrated the peaceful intent of the expedition. Sacagawea, very important figure in their expansion to the West.
In 1805, she rescued Lewis and Clark's journals and records after their boat capsized the river, and they named the river Sacagawea River in her honor after that.
So many things.
She was married to a French-Canadian fur trader. She also, at one point, had a baby.
And toted it.
And toted it.
I know. I mean, this lady was badass. Sacagawea, look her up. This lady was awesome. There's parks, coins, stamps. She's been honored, what, in every way?
Right.
The National American Woman Suffrage Association adopted Sacagawea as a symbol of women's worth and independence, erecting many statues and plaques in her memory, and that makes Sacagawea one tough, awesome lady. Are we still watching stuff?
We're still watching. And this one, I didn't watch it the first go-round when it was on Netflix, but I did watch it the second. I ended up watching the first season just so I could watch the second season. What I watched was Squid Game, which is really dark, and maybe that's the reason why I didn't watch it the first time. Hundreds of cash-strapped contestants there in Korea are given an invitation to compete in children's games for a tempting prize, but the stakes are deadly. Now, they're all been found because they all owe money, and the guy who knows that they owe money, the lender knows that they are cash strapped and they owe money on these loans.
You win, so you get the debt?
Right, because you get all this money.
Wow.
Okay, originally titled Round 6, a dystopic survival thriller horror television.
Where
the
is
this series
at? Korea?
Is in Korea.
North or south?
South. The series revolves around a secret contest of 456 players, all of whom are deep in financial hardship. They risk their lives to play a series of deadly children's games to win what would be in their money, $45.6 billion. In our money, it would have been $39 million prize. As the title goes on, it is really dark, I'm going to say. And you get that for the first game, which is, I think we may have played this, Red Light, Green Light, where when you're red light, you're running. And then when you get, green light, you're running. Red light, you stop, but you have to be completely still. Well, what happens in the game? They just start shooting the people that are not still. And that's kind of how it goes. They're playing these little children's games that, you know, they may have played when they were kids. And if you didn't win the game or continue on, you were eliminated. And I watched the second season. I mean, the first season, you ultimately have a winner. And he has a choice. He's about to get on an airplane to go to the United States to see his daughter. And he gets a call, and they're going, yeah, go get on the plane. You've got all this money. No, he turns around and tries to get back into the next game to try and help the other people that are playing the game and try to overtake.
What is this on?
This is on Netflix.
Called what?
Squid Game.
See, now that's a game show that actually matters. Not that bullshit on what NBC where Jimmy Fallon's jumping around acting like an idiot.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot on the line. Okay. People's, you know, livelihoods, continuing, get something to eat, not go to jail.
And it's very hard to watch. And a lot of people liked it. I mean, it had 95% on Rotten Tomatoes the first season. Had a critics number of 69. Second season had 83% like it on Rotten Tomatoes. And the first season had 4 SAG Award nominations.
How'd you find out about it?
Because I go on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Anyway, Hong Hoang, who wrote it, said it was a work of losers. He based it on his narrative of Korean games of his childhood that showed the irony of a child's game where the competition is more important than extreme competition, people's lives at stake. And he said he wrote it based his personal experience observations of capitalism, economic class struggles in Korea. Considered his script targeted towards global issues regarding capitalism, I wanted to create something that would resonate not just for Korean people, but globally. This was my dream. I do not believe there's an overall global economic order is unequal, and about 90% of the people believe it's unfair. During the pandemic, poor countries could not get their people vaccinated, thereby contracting the viruses on the streets and even dying. So he's just showing how that's uneven brutal. The playing field yeah, yeah. is. And that's kind of important to think about how really uneven it is. And I wouldn't say you couldn't stop watching. That's the one thing about it. You just could not. And I would recommend it. It's pretty good. It is called Squid Game. And the second season is called Squid Game 2. And they even did a version. This is what happened. I watched the first. They did a reality competition, but no one died. They just pretended to die. And that was pretty good before I ever watched these two seasons. And it kind of gave me what was going to happen, but it's pretty dark. And and I'm not big in, I'm not big into violence. So I liked it. I mean, it's pretty good.
That's pretty wild. All right. After that, I need a shot.
Okay.
I need to calm down. What do we got?
We have the Oreo cookie shot. One part vodka, one part Kahlua, one part creme de coco, some crushed Oreos inside, and some Irish double of Irish cream.
Tell you what, you get pretty professional. It looks like real bartender stuff.
Well, it's cool was you had to take the stuff you took from the inside of the Oreos.
The good stuff.
Melt it to make the rimming and then put the Oreos around the
Very Oreo. Professional. It is. Down the hatch.
Down the hatch.
Woo! I'm going to tell you what.
I'm telling it's
There's
Oreo-esque.
Cookie in there.
There's cookie
There's
in
cookie
there.
There's cookie in there. Wow, good job. It's just called the Oreo cookie shot.
The Oreo cookie shot. Woo. So you're craving some Oreos.
Woo.
It's pretty good.
Thank you, Kat. All right, this week we were bumpered in with a man named Ian No. That's I-A-N, last name, N. O-E.
From all the vowels you could ever want.
Yes. Beattyville. Beattyville? Beattyville? Kentucky. All right. Ian No. The second artist to be named Band of the Week here on Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. Why? Because Ian No, this dude writes songs that will punch you right in the gut. They make you feel, they make you think. Listen to me. If you're up in age a little bit like us, listen to Ballad of a Retired Man. One thing I've said over and over on these podcasts is you have to listen to the lyrics. If you listen to a song, listen to the lyrics. Ian O's song, Ballad of a Retired Man, it paints this picture of a man who worked all his life, took care of his family, and then waited for the Lord to take him. It's gut-wrenching, and it's brilliant. I don't understand how a dude 34 years old sees the world the way he does. Every time I search his catalog, I find another song that blows my freaking mind. Check out Ian No, wherever you get your music.
Okay, can we talk about him a little bit? He learned to play the guitar when he was 5 years old. First song he ever learned to play was Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode. He has performed with Jamestown Revival, Blackberry Smoke, had Jason Momoa in one of his videos. Talented guy. I looked on his site. I don't see any upcoming concerts right now. Maybe he's working on a new album.
I don't know. I wish the guy would get some juice, get out there. People who know.
He won the grand prize of the 2007 Appalachian Star Search playing a song, Don't Let the Morning Bring You Down.
Yeah, I've heard it. I've listened to his stuff. It's so freaking good. Check out Ian No, wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.
They drove him out to the desert, seeking nothing new. Tried the cures in the valley, and religion too. He cursed the cold and the wood stoves, beneath the church house vents. Fought the heat and the horse flies in revival tents. Later on that winter,